Last week ended in a great way, and this week has begun in a fine fashion. We had 569 people at the early service. I wish we could have had everybody together today. It would have been a wonderful audience and a wonderful worship, but I'm also thankful that we can have the two. I want to express in a personal way appreciation to all of you, particularly to the parents who are here today, parents of students at Freed Hardeman. We count it a privilege to be able to be located just across the street from Freed Hardeman and to be associated with this student body. As I sat last night and enjoyed the program, I thought about how intertwined my life personally and our work in this congregation is with the students. Raybo has been our adopted student for 4 years. I trained him in all that singing. Vondel led singing for me in meeting back when he was still learning some of the things that he knows now, and has been in charge of our Wednesday night service singing at the 5:45 service. I had an opportunity to be on trips with Melissa and Kimberly and be involved with them, with the backup singers, with those in the orchestra, and to live in a position where I can observe and be associated with the students on a regular basis. And I count it a privilege. And we in the congregation want you parents and friends to know how much we appreciate these young folks. When I consider the fine group of teenagers that fill these front seats at every service, and the students, and the way I know them, that are involved in Freed Hardeman University, I believe we have in Henderson, Tennessee, on a regular basis, perhaps the finest group, at least one of the finest groups of young people that you'll find anywhere in the world. And I appreciate them so much. I would imagine that some of you, at least, in the last few days, have heard the three words, "Can't stop now." Several weeks ago, when I received the first mail-out of the program for making music this year and opened it up, the stop sign caught my attention. Can't stop now. Right under that was fun ahead. And as I glanced through it, some other ideas came to mind and talked with the elders, and we decided to make the month of April a special month relative to our students at Freed Hardeman University. The month started with the Making Music Weekend with the theme, Can't Stop Now. And just after the month of April is over, we'll have graduation, some 2 or 3 days after the month is over and into the month of May. We decided to take that theme, Can't Stop Now, and use it throughout the month. Let me just share with you the sermon topics for this month, and all the students and staffs were supposed to have received a copy of this week. Tonight's lesson will be on fun ahead. And as we talk about that, Making Music Weekend will be over. But there's still fun ahead for Christians. Next week, Sunday morning's lesson is Act Your Wage. Sunday night, the grass can be greener on your side of the fence. The next Sunday, Brad Howard, our other minister, will be speaking on Sunday morning on My God and I, dealing with personal faith. Sunday night, hang in there, baby, on assurance and hope. And the last Sunday morning's lesson will be on your schedule as we talk about the use of time. And the last lesson during April, the bed was on fire when I lay down on it. And I'll let you guess what that's about. No, I won't. Come back and be with us that Sunday as we talk about that. This morning's lesson is entitled, No Parking Here. That's another way of saying can't stop now. How many times have you driven into a parking lot and found some slots that said no parking here? Sometimes around here lately, with more cars on campus than we have students, I think sometimes that's the case, we think that there's no place to park at all. But I want you to think about this idea of no parking here, not in the sense of an automobile, not even in the sense of the entertainment that we enjoyed last night and emphasizing that we can't stop in those areas, but in a spiritual area. No parking here. That sign literally means we are not to stop. We're not to stop where we are. There's something ahead, and that's pointed out particularly in Philippians 3, 13 and 14, where Paul said, reaching to those things that are before, and pressing toward the mark, toward the goal, that's the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Looking to the things that are ahead. It was in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, either by this same author Paul or whoever the inspired writer of the book of Hebrews was, that we find him saying, after you've laid aside the weight and the sin which can beset you, run with patience the race that is set before you. That's something in the future. That's something that's ahead. I believe that it is a scriptural idea in these passages and others that we should not park where we are. That there is so much ahead for us to do. That there is such a challenge for us to meet. We just can't stop now. There is no parking for us in the Lord's work. Think as we apply this principle in about four different areas this morning. First, we cannot park in our promotion of the restoration plea. And if there's ever been a time when that needs to be understood, it's in our time. For the last two or three days, we've heard the statement, for 15 years the program's been going on, we can't stop now. For 15 times 15, or in that general area, the restoration movement has been involved. At least with some of the seeds being planted for it as far back as that. And almost 2,000 years ago, our Lord died on the cross, shed his blood to make it possible for there to be something that is real. Where even when through the centuries mankind has tended to drift away, there is a possibility of having that standard toward which we can turn. And that gives us the foundation for the restoration movement and the restoration plea. We must be concerned about helping people understand the distinctiveness of the church, the necessity of Christ in his body. It's interesting to turn to God's word and see Paul admonish Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:16 to not only take heed to himself but unto the doctrine. And say that you must continue in both of these if you're going to be saved. And listen to Paul where in the first chapter of Colossians he's discussing the subject of reconciliation and says you can have this if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. And that's the same verse that says the gospel had been preached to every creature under heaven, same context at least at that time. Grounded and settled, plugged into the foundation that will stand. But notice particularly that word continue. If you continue in the faith, it was Jesus who said, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, in John 8, verse 31. It's interesting to note back in the second chapter of Judges, where after the death of Joshua is recorded in verse 8, verse 10 says that there arose a generation that knew not God and did not remember the work of Israel. We are reminded as we look back to that time how soon we can drift away from the straight and narrow way and the challenges that are before us in that. It takes only one uninformed, complacent generation for that to take place. No wonder Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 to this younger man, this younger preacher, Timothy, the things that you've heard among me or of me among many people, you take these and you teach them to other people. He even emphasized others who are faithful and able. You teach them to others that they may be able to teach others also. You see in that as you study and analyze that verse, the idea of every generation over and over and over and over. Teaching God's word. Where we understand that eternal purpose of God that was in Christ Jesus even from the beginning of the world. Folks, there's no time to park. We can't stop now. We walk on streets in this town and meet in buildings here where some of the stalwarts of the faith have proclaimed the gospel down through the years and have set up principles even in the institution of Christian education that would hold to those old paths that are based upon Christ and His Word. In 1992, I suggest to you that it's no time to park. Let's move on. Let's keep moving. In holding up that valid restoration plea to the world around us and trying our best, even with our weaknesses and mistakes, to let that be seen in our lives. Number two, certainly no time for us to park in the field of education. We live in a time when the sum total of knowledge is multiplying at a faster pace than ever before. It might be good even for those of you of the younger generation to stop and consider the fact that most of the beneficial things that you use in your lifetime were discovered in my generation and the generation before it. In the generation of your grandparents and your parents, we have probably had more discoveries and more advancement in technology than in all the history of mankind before. That's great, but it's also a bit scary. I remember reading a few years ago that the sum total of knowledge doubled every 7 years, and I would imagine that it's a little less than that now. Last Monday, I had the privilege to conduct a funeral service for Brother Leonard Melton, 90 years old. He was born in March of 1902. As I was considering his life the morning before his funeral and sitting in my den watching the early news, as I watched our astronauts out in space talking to me in my den, as I watched on a colored television and saw them in color, I was reminded that Brother Melton was born the year before the Wright brothers flew that first plane over North Carolina. In this man's lifetime, we had come from the gliders that were being used in an experimental sense about 1902 to where a few nights before his death and funeral, one of the Oscars was awarded by the astronauts who were out there in space. It's amazing. No wonder Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child. Don't park, keep on. No wonder we're told to desire the sincere milk of the Word, 1 Peter 2:2, to grow thereby and to grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3, verse 18. Continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, 2 Timothy 3:14. Little kindergarten child came home from the first day of school and said, Dad, I'm not going back. Why? I've learned everything I need to know. About the time you graduate from high school, you think you have, and about the time you graduate from the university, you realize you haven't. And as we get a little bit older, we realize how little we do know and how much more there is out there on the horizon for us to learn. This learning process of education is a continuing process as long as we're on this earth. No parking here in 1992. In the third place, we need to consider that in the area of service, and that's what Christianity is about. I continue to be grateful that the university emphasizes the idea of learning how to live as well as make a living. And that living process is in the development of personal characteristics that we shall notice in a moment, and then reaching through those to serve our fellow man. And we will never come to the point that we can park and stop and say, I've arrived. There is no parking lot on this earth in the field of service. Look at what is said about Jesus in the first two verses of the book of Acts. As the writer, we think Luke, was referring back to the former treatise, perhaps the Gospel according to Luke. And he said, I have written to you folks about all that Jesus began to do and teach. Notice that do. Same thing as going about doing good, Acts 10:38. But notice what else is said. Of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. When did he stop? He didn't part. Perhaps if our Lord had parted too soon, the cross would not have been a reality. If he had stopped short of carrying out the eternal purpose of God, where would you and I be today? It's also interesting to parallel a comment of Paul in Philippians 1:6 with this description of Christ in Acts 1:1-2. He said, I am persuaded that the Lord which hath begun this work in you, there's the service, Christian living, notice, will perform it until the day of the Lord. No parking, no stopping, no quitting, no arriving at the place that we can say we're here, this is it, until God by death or the Lord's return calls us from this life of service. Going about doing good, adding to, emphasizing those things in life that are so important. It was in the third chapter of Titus that Paul twice, verse 8 and 14, says, be careful to maintain good works. Don't stop. Don't park. Be careful to maintain. That's a continuing idea. Maintain good works. And I believe that's what we're trying to train young people to do. And show them by our examples what it's about. No parking in service. And if we're going to be able to promote the restoration plea, take advantage of educational opportunities, and use ourselves completely in service to one another and God, we must never park, never stop in the development and growth of Christian character. Was that not what Peter was talking about in 2 Peter 1:5 when he said, beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Temperance, patience, godliness, you know the seven Christian graces we call them. Notice, add to, don't park, don't stop. Don't feel as if you have the total sum, but add to those things. Grow up into him in all things, Ephesians 4:15, doing it in love. And I believe if you'll study that, you'll see he was talking to Christians. Is he not suggesting in that there is that continual growth pattern where we learn and we increase and we grow in all of these qualities where we are definitely less than perfect? And striving to be more Christ-like every day that we live. No parking when it comes to the development of Christian character. And through that character, reaching out to learn in education and to serve our fellow men and to promote the cause of Christ for which he died on the cross. Perhaps this idea is somewhat summed up in a statement made by Paul just maybe a few days or a few weeks before his death, and by our Lord shortly before his death and at the immediate time of his death. Paul said at 2 Timothy 4:7-8, the last book he wrote, realizing that the time of his departure was at hand, he said, I have finished the course. Now, he was getting ready to park in the safekeeping of our Lord. He was getting ready to end his life and park his life in that sense, but not before. Not before did he ever say, I have finished. It was only in what is really one of the great prayers recorded in the Bible, which probably ought to be the one called the Lord's Prayer, recorded in John 17. Shortly before he left this earth, that Jesus said, Father, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. And then almost with his dying breath, Even after having continued to reach out in service from the cross itself with his concern for his mother and his brethren in his dying breath, Jesus said, "It is finished." He didn't park any earlier than that time. And it's from his mouth that those words come, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." Matthew 10:22. Don't park. Don't stop. Just keep on going in meeting the challenges that are before us. We have before us a great challenge to keep on carrying that restoration plea, to take advantage of every educational opportunity, formal and informal, that's before us. To reach out with whatever talents we have, 1, 2, or 5, to serve our fellow men and through them serve our Lord, and to continue to build in Christian character to be more and more like Jesus, and to be able to be a part of that bride that he'll take home to present to his Father. No parking here in this life. You know, sometimes I think there are those who are not Christians that are parking in the pew. You're here for a service such as this. You've heard enough gospel to convert the country of Brazil. You've had opportunity after opportunity to confess your faith in Christ and be buried with him in baptism for the remission of all past sins, and you've parked yourself in that pew. And when you start up to turn around and go about something else instead of serving God. Jesus described a man in Mark 12:34 as being not far from the kingdom of God. Isn't that somewhat the idea that maybe he's just parked outside? He'd parked too soon. He wasn't in the kingdom. Not far away, but he'd parked too soon. And Agrippa said in Acts 26, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Agrippa was parking too soon. Paul said, "Not almost, but almost and altogether such as I am." Agrippa, don't stop where you are. Come on all the way. And whether it's to that person who's parked in the pew and will not obey the gospel, or that person who is parked in negligence and will not return, I say to you this morning, there's no place for parking. You need to start up again and come to Jesus as together we stand and sing.
A load of care. Are you a soul?